Then in chapter 19, Jezebel threatens Elijah. She says, and you can see it in the first thing, when Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Elijah's getting the credit, but the people did it. But God is the one behind Elijah. Then Jezebel, sent a message to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." So Jezebel said, "I'm going to kill you." Jezebel has killed other people. There was a guy who owned a vineyard that her husband wanted. And she said, "Don't worry, I'll get you the vineyard." And she paid men to lie and say that the owner of the vineyard had blasphemed God so that they took him out to the end of town and stoned him dead. This is how Jezebel works. She's behind the scenes. She gets things done. She tells Elijah, "I'm going to get you done. By the end of the day, you'll be dead. Count on it." And she's a doer. She accomplishes her will. And so look what it says there. "Then he was afraid, and he arose, and he ran for his life, and he came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he asked that he might die." Anybody else in this room ever said, "Take me now, Lord, take me now. It's all I can stand"? Elijah is despondent. Elijah, could you say he was suicidal? He's not thinking of doing it himself. He's saying, "Lord, that I might die. It's enough now, Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." So think about this. Christians, think about this. You walk with God, you believe God, and you follow God. But what happens when people are against you? It's hard. To take a stand for God in this day, it doesn't mean death for you. It means embarrassment for you. It means potentially ostracization because you stand for something that most people don't believe. So you may as well have lead in your basement you're trying to turn into gold if you're going to talk to people and say, "God created the world. The Bible says he did it in 6 days and he rested on the seventh." If you say the earth is hung there in space, we've known that. The Bible said it before the astronomers discovered it. If you said Jesus rose from the dead and the Holy Spirit of God is the presence of God in the world and he guides his people now, how is that going to be received by most people in the world? I preach the gospel to a room full of people, this whole room, standing in the back, people in the children's church standing, about the gospel of Jesus Christ and why the dear departed, who departed in faith in Jesus Christ, expected to see some of us again, those of us who believe and follow Jesus Christ. Not everyone. I didn't add that part in a funeral. I think it'd be rude to beat people up. It's a hostage situation. They've come for the family. But the gospel preached, there's salvation in Jesus' name. Do you want to see her again? Follow Jesus. That was the message of the sermon in a funeral. It wasn't received by everyone. It's foolishness to those who are perishing. Now we're talking about the destination of people whom God has chosen. We're talking about the preservation of those whom God has chosen. And Jesus says, "Everyone that the Father gives me, I have not lost one." We see Paul saying it's true that the Jewish nation does not follow Jesus Christ, but they will. And all of you who do follow Jesus Christ have been called by God to follow. Not all will, but the nation is not lost. God does not save a people group en masse. He does not save the church of Alva Baptist Church because you're a member. He saves each person because they follow Jesus Christ. And this guy, Elijah, stood for God, stood off against the others. If it didn't work out, he was going to die, but it did work out. And do you not recognize how immediately after a mountaintop experience with God, you hear from God, you know God is involved in your life. Oh, do you believe? How long is it until back down the hill you get a kick in the teeth? People, that is what we're talking about this morning. Christians who walk, who get a kick in the teeth, because the enemy of our souls does not rest, does not sleep. His job is to steal and to kill and destroy. This guy, Elijah, he's a hero in the faith. He gets a card on the wall, doesn't he? If you had trading cards, there's an Elijah card. David, Goliath, boo, you know. Jesus, right? Shiniest, biggest one, I guess. I don't know. Elijah's in there, though. But Elijah himself, when threatened by a successful evil person that doesn't believe the power of the flesh, the might of a human arm is threatening to you, Christian, is it not? Is it not? Could you die? You could die. Something could happen. It could be a bus. It could be a bad person. It could be illness. And this guy, Elijah, he turns and he runs for fear a day's journey into the wilderness, sat down under a tree and asked that he might die, saying, "It's enough, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." But as Burroughs said, and I don't mean the poet, I mean the commentator on the scripture, he said, "God speaks to the souls of his faithful ones in their despondency."